Turning in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Thank you. And God bless you. Thank you for coming. I hope you brought your Bibles to the house of the Lord today. And we stand in reverence out of respect to the word of the Lord. And so if you can stand with us. And the word of the Lord says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Somebody say the gospel. "Which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. By which," notice this, "which also ye are saved." Notice this, "if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I," notice this, "delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." According to the scriptures, not according to history, not according to, I lost my piano player, not according to science, but according to the scriptures. Notice what verse 10 says. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." And why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I've got good news." Turn to your other neighbor, give him a fist bump. Tell him, "I've got good news." Amen. If you're going to help Pastor preach, would you just lift your voices to the Lord right now? Can we pray? Father in heaven, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love and your mercy, your manifold. Would you help Pastor pray? We thank you today for all that you do, God, all that you've done, oh God, for your loving kindness, God. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. And a little bit more room now that the children have gone to class. But reminder, we already had one service this morning. And so standing room only at the 11 o'clock and then one service at 9. So to God be the glory for all that he is doing. And so I've got good news today. I've got good news today is my sermon title. And for those that have come this morning wanting to hear about the resurrection, etc., I will draw your attention to Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, John chapter 20, and Luke chapter 24. You could read the story of the resurrection. You could read the setting of the Lord being crucified and what we would understand today, why we celebrate, as the world would call Easter, but we at the church call Resurrection Sunday. And we hear a lot about news. There's a lot of news, David, that we hear about. And have you ever had somebody tell you, "Hey, I've got good news and I've got bad news." And you're like, well, if you're like me, tell me the bad news first, because you want to kind of sandwich that good news on the back end. Or sometimes you just, you don't care. And you're just like, just tell me. So you're in anticipation wondering if you need to cry, if you need to laugh, or if you need to just get real angry and look in the mirror and not say nothing to nobody. But some news is good and some news is bad. And now we have a phrase which popularized some time back, fake news. And what I am talking about this morning is not fake news. And it is good news. It's all good because the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's all good. It's all good. Always has been good news and will continue to be good news. And we maybe here today, you get your information, your news from the newspapers. Some folks still read it the old-fashioned way. Maybe it's magazines. I hope you're not getting your news from social media, but I know there's some folks that are they're foolish like that. And then there's the radio, there's the television, there's other media outlets and channels. But we're bombarded almost on a daily basis with news, with whether it's bad news, depressing news, information news that we get, and it's everywhere, and it's constant. But this morning, I don't come to tell you something that is doom and gloom. I don't come to tell you something that's going to bum you out or depress you today. I've come to declare to you that I've got good news, which is the greatest news ever, that Jesus is alive. And he's alive and well. And we felt His presence in here today with the singing and with the worship and with the hand clapping and with the lifting up of our voice and with the pre-service prayer and the wonderful children when they sing. We can begin to feel the presence and the power of God. As the praises went up, we begin to feel the glory of the Lord. The Bible says where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The gospel, it means good news. It's good news. When you hear the gospel, it's the good news of the life of Jesus, his message, his life, his death, his burial. But the greatest news is the resurrection. Because he lives today, we're able to face anything that comes our way because he paid the price once and for all for everybody. We can be saved today from sin and from salvation because of what the Lord did on the cross. He was on the cross and he did what he did because he loves us. He did what he did because we didn't have to do it ourselves. And I'm standing here today as a living proof of the mercies of God. His teachings, his miracles, all powerful, all a necessity, all something that we cherish today. But oh, there's something about the work of Calvary. There's something about the cross where he would go to the cross. He would be crucified on a cross. We understand that this was a very tormenting for a physical body. But what about the mental distress that would take place? It was very very awful. It was very what we'd understand today, holistic. But the Lord did all that today. He did all that because he loves us. We understand today the what. We know the what. We know why we're here today, because it's celebrating the resurrection. But why? Why did he do what he did? Do you ever wonder sometimes why people do what they do? Well, we understand today that but the Lord did what he did because he did it for love. Love will have you do all kinds of crazy things. Yeah. Some of you are here today in church because of love. Because Honeypot told you, you better be at church Easter Sunday. We got two services, so you pick one, which one you're coming to. Or there'll be no Easter chocolate for you. We know about love. And the gospel is an announcement that we cannot afford to ignore. The plan of salvation is free. In fact, the wonderful thing is, this is great news, is that there was a man in the Bible by the name of Nicodemus, and he asked a question. And in John 3, 5 through 7, Jesus answered and said, "Except a man be born again of the water and the Spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God." And then Jesus goes on to tell him in verse 7, "Marvel not, ye must be born again." Well, I've got good news today, ladies and gentlemen, to let you know that one man asked that question, but the beauty was when Jesus answered the question, it was not just for that regulated for that one man for his question, but it is, as we understand today, it is for us today as well that we must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. What's the big deal about being born again of the water and the Spirit? Because when we repent, we die to our old flesh. We die to the sin of who we were. We repent, and so we're turning back towards sin, and we're making a new mindset, a change of heart, and a change of mind and attitude, and then we're buried with him. All of our sins are buried in a watery grave, in the baptism, fully immersed in water, in the name of Jesus Christ. It's because of the shedding of his blood for the remission of sins. So we're baptized in Jesus' name. And then we have newness of life. We have the Holy Ghost, the regeneration, the reviving of life that is in us when we begin to be filled with his Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That, ladies and gentlemen, is good news today, because that didn't stop in the Bible. But we're living proof today that we've got good news. That the same power that rose Jesus from the grave over 2,000 years ago is the same power, is the same authority that lives in you and I today. And by the grace of God, I am what I am today. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But we serve a perfect God who is alive and well. That is good news. Folks, today, all across the world, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we'll be celebrating what we're celebrating. It's awesome. We understand that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh.
Yes, yes.
The Bible tells us that in 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. We understand Colossians 2 and 8 and verse, and or 2 and 9 and verse 10 as well. For in him, in Jesus, somebody say in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But I like this next part when it says, for you are made complete in him. He completes us. I know there's a popular phrase to say, oh, you had me at hello and you complete me, but that's fairy tale. That's Hollywood. What I'm telling you today is the infallible, inspired Word of God. There's a void in all of us that only God can fill. It's like a puzzle piece that he's holding in his hand, and you're going throughout your life looking and searching for things, and he's saying, well, I got the answer right here. I've got good news to you today. I've got the answer right here. Jesus loves you. He always has. He always will. The God that we serve doesn't lie.
No.
Wouldn't it be awesome, Sister Martinez, if it's my favorite name to say when I'm preaching, that when the Lord says something, he does it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You know, I know some people, they like to stretch the truth, right? Their fish seems to get bigger the longer they tell the story. But God doesn't lie. In fact, Titus 1 and 2 says, which God that cannot lie. So when the Lord says something, he does it. And in fact, he goes on to tell us, the scripture says in Isaiah 55 and 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, I've got good news. If God says something, you better believe that it's going to happen. Because
yeah.
God doesn't lie. That's good news. There's no fine print. Oh, you didn't read the contract. You didn't read. There's an exception to every. No, the devil is a liar. God does not lie. If he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And he told everybody, I'm going to have to suffer many things. I'm going to die. You're going to destroy this body. But in 3 days, the joke's going to be on all them. The wages of sin is death. It is always paid the same. The joke is on sin, but the gift of God is eternal life and salvation through Jesus Christ. That is good news. Over the last 2 years, we've all experienced a whole lot of change that took place. Right? Anybody?
Amen.
Nobody wants to go backwards, right? Yeah, bless God. You better all raise your hand. But some of the changes have been uncomfortable, right? For those that are impatient, we learn to be patient, waiting in line at Costco. We learned real quick, right? didn't know there was sidewalks all the way down to Red Lobster, but we figured that out real quick. But I've got good news today. With all of the improvising and all the adapting, we've overcome. And we've gotten some new experiences and some fresh perspectives. We're here today in a church that three years ago, if you would have told me we would have to have two services to accommodate everybody, I would have been, wow, that sounds cool, but how are we going to do it? But look what the Lord has done. That's good news. But you know what? Who hasn't changed in 2 years? You know who hasn't changed? You know, some of us, we didn't slow the spread or flatten the curve, right? We increased. Amen. We took the scripture literal when the Bible says increase, right? We increased physically. But you know who hasn't changed? What didn't change? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. That's good news today.
Amen.
That in all the changes and instability and crisis of the last 2 years and even in our lifetime, he's always been constant and stable. I've got more good news today. Somebody say more good news. Neither has his mercy. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 103 and 17, but the mercies of, or the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and his righteousness unto children's children. That's a beautiful thing, that because some things stop when the patriarch of the family passes away. You know, we don't do that no more because that was, you know, something grandpa was able to afford and to pay, or, you know, we don't do that anymore because, you know, we don't have the means to do that because things are different now. But that the mercies of the Lord don't run out.
No.
And they are from the children's children's.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful thing when you stop and look at it, that the mercies of God did not expire in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. The mercies of God are continually. Lamentations 3 tells us, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. And it goes on to tell us that his mercies are renewed every day. Every day there's brand new mercy. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for brand new mercy? You know, some people, they're just not ready for the next step. They're not ready for the next maybe commitment and relationship with their significant other. Maybe they're not ready in their relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're here today, you're kind of in between. You struggle with commitment in various areas of your life. But I've got good news today for you. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 86 and 5, not only is the Lord good, but he's ready to forgive.
Yeah.
Whether you're ready or not, he's ready.
Yeah.
And when you're ready, he'll be ready.
Yeah.
And plenteous in mercy and to all them that call upon thee. Now, we had a 9 o'clock service this morning. I'm just using this as an example. What if we used up at the 9 o'clock service all of the mercies of the Lord in that service and it expired? It ran out by the time it got to the 11 o'clock. Because there's some things that are that way, right? They're going to say free food, or the first whatever people get here, we're going to give giveaways to everybody. And it comes your turn and they're like, oh, we weren't expecting this amount of people. So there's no more free gifts. You're like, well, you better go find me a gift. But with the Lord, it don't work that way.
No.
He's ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. Somebody better recognize here, you've used up a lot of God's mercy in your lifetime.
Yeah.
And he's still giving. And he's still giving. That's good news, because he does it because he loves you and I this morning. He loves you with an everlasting love.
Amen.
The Lord's love is so genuine and so amazing that it's unconditional.
Yeah.
You ever maybe been in a relationship with somebody and they're only into you while you're giving them gifts and doing stuff for them? But the moment that gravy train shuts off, they all of a sudden get real forgetful about you, because their love was conditional. Maybe their love was just for a moment of convenience. But God's love, it's not like that. In fact, the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world.
Yeah.
Now there's a lot of crazies in the world. We've realized that lately. But he loves all the crazies too. And he loves you, and you're part of the crazy. And I'm part of the crazy. We're real local, right? Now we're just local for Jesus. But he so loved the world that he would die on a cross, shed his blood, and get up on the third day, as they put him in a borrowed tomb, by the way, because he wasn't planning on staying there very long. And he rose again victorious on the third day over death, hell, and the grave. Why did he do it? He did it because he loves you and he loves me. That is good news. So the love of God is not like the love of man. It's not like the love that a husband has for his wife. It's an everlasting love. It's the agape love. It's not based on condition, what I can get or what you can do for me. They took our Jesus to a cross. They nailed him to a cross, but he did all that for love. They mocked him. They smote him on the face. The Bible says they blindfolded him. They pierced his side. They paraded him down the street. They call it the road of Via de la Rosa, the road of sorrow. But he did all that for love. His crucifixion was on a, what we would understand as a hill. They call it Golgotha. And it was a hill so that everybody could see what was taking place. It wasn't hidden out somewhere on the outskirts of town. I've been there 3 years ago, 2019, I was there. I walked right by it. It's up on a hill. It's on main road where people would walk by and see. And we would understand that he did that for love. The scripture says in 1 John 2:2, and he is a propitiation of our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. That's love.
Yeah.
He paid a debt that he did not owe. Mm-hmm. Because we couldn't pay it.
That's right.
And the best part about it is he paid it in full.
Yep.
For everybody. And he did that because he loves you. And he loves me. Bible says, 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. And John 15:13 says, a greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. If you're ever feeling alone, confused, unloved, or acting unlovable, remember, he loves you.
Amen.
That's good news. He loves you. He died for you. Oh, you're not perfect. I know. I know you. We thought you were perfect when we first met you. You thought we were perfect when you first met us. But a couple hours into it, you realized they're not perfect and you're not perfect. But I've got good news. The Lord is perfect. He's holy. He's righteous in all his ways. And he loves you. Somebody say good news. The physical pain that he took on the cross and he endured, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53:5, for he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And notice this, with his stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
Hebrews tells us he endured the cross despising the shame. He did that for you and for me because he loves us.
Amen.
The story doesn't end there. It doesn't stop there. Early this morning, as I was getting ready for church, it was early. Some of you were still sleeping. And I thought today could have been the day the Lord would have came back, that moment. Because there was like the house shook almost. And Sister Pernero came in, she's like, what was that? I said, I don't know, where's my glasses? You know. And you would think living here, well, you get used to that, but it rattles you up a little bit. Well, there was a shaking and a rattling that took place 2,000 years ago, Matthew 28:2. And there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came, and notice this, rolled back the stone from the door.
Yeah. I like this part. And he sat upon it. That's pretty crazy. He just sat upon it. I've got more good news. Notice this. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Not, he was crucified, but check this out. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord laid. He's not here. And he says, go quickly, tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead, like he told us. Can I tell you, there's going to come a shout. There's going to be a trump that will eastern sky, and the Lord's going to ascend from heaven. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed, transformed, saints of God. That's good news today. Why do you celebrate, Pastor? Why do you get excited? I get excited because this world is not my home. The Lord lived. He died. He was buried. He was crucified. But it doesn't stop there. He lives today. He lives today. So by the grace of God, I am what I am today because of the grace of God. There's a whole lot of things in my past that I'm glad nobody knows about but the Lord. There's a whole lot of things I've said that I wish I could take back. There's a whole lot of thoughts in my mind and memories and images of things I shouldn't have been watching and places I shouldn't have went, but they're there in my mind. I wish I could erase it, but I can't. But by the grace of God and his mercies and his love, I'm standing here today, not perfect, but thanks be to God. God, I am what I am today. I am a product of mercy. I'm a product of grace. I'm a product of the power of God. I'm a product of restoration. I'm a product of the love of God. Can I get a witness this morning? Anybody say, I got good news. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. That's good news today. You know, some people seem to be at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you're at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Because we are all overcomers.
Yeah.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
And the word of our testimony.
Yeah.
We're all here. Somebody say, I'm a testimony. I'm a testimony. You're not who you want to be. And most of us aren't not who our spouses expect us or need us to be. Myself included, right? I leave my shoes all over the house too. But thanks be to God. I am what I am. Thanks be to God. He knows my name. And he calls me by my name. He doesn't call me liar or cheater or adulterer or fornicator like the devil will call us by our sin. But the Lord, he calls us by, he calls you daughter. He calls you friend. Come on, that's good news today. Woo! Somebody give God a praise for his mighty acts and according to his excellent greatness. He lives today, Brother Marquez. He lives today. He lives in us. He lives in us. He rose again. I said he rose again. He did not stay in the tomb. He didn't stay there. I know there's lots of tombs. If you've ever been to Israel and Jerusalem, they've got on the eastern side of the city, especially on the eastern side of the gate, they've got what you would call people where thousands of people are buried right there. But there's one empty tomb in Jerusalem that is empty. That was just used for a little while.
Yeah.
For love.
Yeah.
And it's been empty there ever since.
Yeah.
But my heart is not empty today.
Amen.
Because it's filled, and my life is filled with the Spirit of the living God this morning.
Amen.
Ah, we serve a God that is victorious. Ah, because He lives today, we can testify of the gospel, and we can deal with anything. Jesus says, all power in heaven is given unto me in earth. And even, I've got more good news today. We got to remember His words. There's a lot of times we remember the words of people that don't mean what they say.
Yeah.
We got to remember the words of Jesus. Because it's good news.
Yeah.
When He says in Matthew 28 and 20, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We got to remember the words of Jesus when He tells us in Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
The world will wear you out.
It will.
Sin will wear you out.
Yep.
Work will wear you out.
Amen.
All the retired people say amen. Addiction will wear you out. People will wear you out. Somebody is searching for something. The next best thing. The next high. The next million, because you've given up on the first million, so you're looking for the second million. Right? Anybody looking for that second million? Right? But John 14 and 6 says, Jesus says, I am the way.
Yeah.
I am the truth.
Yeah.
And I am the life. If you're not living for the Lord, you're not living. But if you're living for the Lord, it's the blessed life.
Yeah.
I didn't say the best life. I said it's the blessed life.
Yeah.
Everything you need can be found in Him.
Yeah.
And if He doesn't have it, you don't need it. And you definitely don't want it.
Right.
We've got salvation in His name, right? Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in the other name. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's healing in Jesus' name. There's forgiveness in Jesus' name. There's peace in Jesus' name. John 14 and 27 tells us, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled.
Right.
Let it not be afraid. Do you see where they buried Jesus? It's empty. But your heart doesn't have to be empty. Your life doesn't have to be empty. Say, oh, Pastor, I've been to all the churches in this city. I've tried religion. I've prayed every prayer. I've signed up for every class. I'm not really into Jesus. I've got good news for you. He's into you. So much so that He died on the cross and He loves you so much. And I'll be transparent with you this morning. The Bible says man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You will have trouble. In the church and out of the church.
Yep.
Hopefully you're not having church trouble. But the Bible tells us, Psalm 34 and 19, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Yep.
That's good news.
Amen.
That's tremendous news. And it gets better because you're going to have trials and tribulations in this world. There's going to be tough times. There's going to be times and days where if you had hair to pull out, you would pull it out again. But notice what the Bible says. John 16 and 33 says, in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've got more good news for you today from the Word of God. 1 John 4 and 4 tells us, ye are of God. That's good news. Because there's some people, if they could change their name or last name, they would.
If they could change the way they look, they would. If there's people that spend millions of dollars injecting stuff in their lips and in their butt. But you are of God and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's good news, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
The musicians begin to make their way. You ever been invited to an event? Nobody? Perhaps it's a convention or a business meeting. And you are just happy to be there, right? You're just glad to be there. All you can eat, steak and lobster buffet, and somebody else's pain. You're like, yeah, praise God. I don't know who it is that's paying for it, but it's all I can eat, so I'm, right? But you're just happy to be there, and somebody comes up to you and says, hey, the host or the vice president or the MC would like to meet you. You're a little taken back because you were just glad to be there.
Yeah.
Little old me, I'm glad that didn't even have anything to wear for an event like this, but I borrowed this from my neighbor's cousin's friend's best friend, and I clean up pretty good. So here I is. And so you show up and you're there. You don't even realize the magnitude of that person that you've maybe have never met wanting to meet you. And perhaps it's the same way here this morning with the billions of people in the world and all the atrocities of the world. And here, Pastor, and all the change taking place across the world and the confusion. People can't even identify who they are anymore. Can't even give a basic definition of what God made, man and woman. But the creator of the world, who holds the world in his hands, the Bible says heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. He's just kicking back on the world. Loves you. Knows you and wants you to know him and the power of his resurrection. Not just his resurrection, he wants you to know the power of his resurrection. When you are filled with his spirit, you are filled with the spirit of the living God. Explosive, dynamite, Holy Ghost filled power. Power, Brother Carlos, that we could change the world. We could move. We could speak to mountains. We could raise the dead. We could take up any deadly thing. So much power that it changes the way we speak one to another. So much power that it convicts us when things we used to do, we don't do that anymore. Power. Make you walk right, talk right, live right. Paul says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. But Pastor, you don't know all I've been through. My story is so bad. If I told you what really took place in my life, you wouldn't let me come to this church. The devil is a liar. Bible says, this is good news. This is good news. Romans 5:19, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And then the beauty of it all, Sister Emily, and I know you think this is like the greatest message you've ever heard. I know. You don't have to tell me. I know. But it's actually the second best. Because in Acts 2:38, probably one of the shortest sermons ever preached, Peter, the apostle, says, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And as you stand, I've got more good news for you this morning. For the promise is unto you. And I know you don't have kids yet. And to your children. And to all that are far off. The further off they are, the better, I say. As many as the Lord our God shall call. He's so powerful, he can just speak and create the world. And we're worried about people that are so far from God. I've got good news. If he can raise the dead and say, Lazarus, come out of that tomb. He can call them out of darkness. I wonder this morning, how many of us can have the faith that if the sea couldn't stop Moses, and if a wall couldn't stop Joshua, and if a giant couldn't stop David, what then can I say to you that if God be for you, who can be against you? Can walk in authority, can walk in dominion. I'm blessed. God has called me. He's anointed me. I've got good news today for somebody. Your best life is not now. It's in the kingdom of heaven. Where all things are passed away. No more tears. No more sickness. No more pain. I've got good news for you. It doesn't stop here. It doesn't end here on earth. There's a place that he's preparing for. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where